at zoom.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Today, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about items in the news and see what's on your mind about some of the big stories in the news. Before we do that, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we talked about the first ever Pentagon audit, which was completed just a few weeks ago. And we also talked about the cost of the war on terror since 9/11. $5.9 trillion. Here's what two listeners had to say following yesterday's show.
Hi, thank you for your show. I just wanted to add a comment in concerning the budget. And yes, the military can tighten up. We're a military family, but it's not just the military. And as far as spending, one caller was saying about the current president, spend. But if you look back at all of the presidents, last presidents, whether they were Democrat or Republican, with the exception of Reagan, the deficit went up every year, every 4 years in their term. So it's not just Trump. It was Obama. It was Bush. It was Clinton. So that was my comment that I wanted to share, and thank you very much.
St. Pete, I was just listening to the show, and if we don't learn from history, we're bound to keep repeating the same mistakes. And if you look at the history of the world, empires and kingdoms and leaders, they come and they go. If you go back to the ancient empires, the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, you go to more modern day empires from the Ottoman Empire, the Austria-Hungary Empire, the British Empire, where the sun never sets, the Russian Empire after World War II, and these empires, they come and they go. And the common denominator between all of them is military and spending too much money on military, GDP going to support military. And after they pillage and rape and manipulate these countries and colonize them, and they can't get anything more like squeezing blood out of a rock, they crumble. And America is no different. The proxy empire of America and having bases all through the world is to manipulate finance. However, America's GDP is similar to why the greatest empire that ever existed in the world, the Roman Empire. Infrastructure started crumbling, not getting enough tax base from your richest people.
Well, there you have a couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Before I start today, I just want to mention some sad news for the MNF community, and that is that if you're a longtime listener to WMNF, you may know the name Pam Wiener. Pam was one of our first New Wave DJs. She had come down from the Northeast and was a young practicing attorney when she started a show here with her husband, soon-to-be husband John DeBrule. And for years, they did a new wave show together called Radical Noise, which was on Saturday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Pam has been struggling with an illness for a long time, and we got the word this morning that Pam Wiener passed away in her sleep this morning. Certainly sad for all of us here at WMNF, and our best wishes go out to John and Lily. Pam was one of the most creative and innovative thinkers about music that MNF ever had, and she and John brought New Wave to the Tampa Bay area on their Saturday show. It was a mainstay for years and years. It was the go-to show for new music here on WMNF, and for many people in the Tampa Bay area, it was their first introduction to New Wave at the peak of the New Wave movement way back in the late 1970s and early 1980s, and they were on the cutting edge. The songs that they played became standards on WMNF and were just an incredible thing to hear that show if you were around listening to WMNF in the early days in 1979, 80, 81, 82. So our hearts are heavy. Pam Wiener has passed away, and we thank Pam for all her years here at WMNF. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines and take some phone calls and talk about some of the items that are in the news. If there's something that that you would like to bring up, you can bring it up by calling 813-239-9663. You can also email us here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. I'm going to suggest a few things that we could talk about. I'm going to play a few sound bites from the last couple of days. And, of course, the big news is Special Counsel Robert Mueller says President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, has provided so much information to the Russia investigation that he shouldn't do any prison time. Let's listen to a report from this morning from the Associated Press.
Michael Flynn is set to be sentenced on December 18th, and prosecutors with Robert Mueller's team are recommending no jail time, citing the extensive cooperation he offered. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his interactions with Sergei Kislyak, Russia's then ambassador to the U.S., at the time the Obama administration was placing sanctions on the Kremlin because of election interference. In the prosecutor's sentencing memorandum, they emphasized the conduct that Flynn lied about cuts to the core of the investigation into any coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. The filing is heavily redacted, but illustrates how much information has been obtained from people close to President Trump. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
So we could talk about that. Again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Stephen Cohen, who is a writer for The Nation magazine and has been a longtime historian on the issue of the Soviet Union and Russia. He's an NYU professor emeritus. He used to teach at Princeton. How has become a darling of Fox News because Cohen doesn't believe there is much to find out by investigating the president's ties to Russia. He was on Fox News two nights ago with Tucker Carlson, and he was saying that the emphasis on this Russia investigation may lead the U.S. and Russia into war. Let's listen to what Stephen Cohen, the professor, said the other night on Fox News.
For the first time since President Eisenhower, a president of the United States, Donald Trump, is not free to keep us from war with Russia. That is one of the themes of my new book, War with Russia, that you mentioned. Remember what happened. Trump was supposed to meet with Putin in Argentina. Was that important? It was very important. We're embroiled in crises that are fraught with hot war, not just cold war, from Syria to Ukraine. Then this episode in the Russian-Ukrainian waters occurred. It seems clear it was a provocation to disrupt the meeting between Trump and Putin, and it was successful. Trump felt, because of these Russiagate allegations, clearly, that you've just discussed with Professor Dershowitz, that Trump feels not free to deal with Putin in terms of national security. Think back to John Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. I mean, that was the model of what we should never do again. But the lesson also was is that President Kennedy was free to negotiate with the Kremlin leader to avoid nuclear war. That is not the case today. And that's why I think the danger of war with Russia, at least since the Cuban Missile Crisis, is greater in my lifetime, in history, than it's ever been because of these Russiagate allegations for which I've yet to see any authentic evidence. And we saw that last week. Trump either felt he could not or he lacked the resolve to go ahead and meet with Putin, even though this meeting is desperately needed. There's a new crisis every month with Russia.
So let me just ask the most basic question. Who, clearly there are forces pushing for war with Russia, in effect, in our country. Who are they and why are they doing that?
I'm not prepared to say that they actually want actual war with Russia, because in my mind, that means the possibility of nuclear war. I mean, a few decades ago, you and I would be having an oh my God conversation. I mean, how can we even think about the possibility of nuclear war? Somehow that's gone, lost in these Russiagate allegations that Trump is somehow under the influence of the Kremlin. There's no evidence for it. So in my mind, whoever promotes this Russiagate allegations, and it's primarily Democrats, not only, but primarily the Democratic Party, is endangering our national security. Now, that's not a popular thing for a person such as myself, who used to live on the liberal reservation, to say. And people denounce me for saying it. But it's the real truth based on my 50 years of studying American-Russian relations. We're in a very dangerous situation, Tucker, and this has to stop, and has to stop very soon.
Well, there's a Professor Stephen F. Cohen, who is a longtime Russia observer, and before that a Soviet observer, and on the air with Fox's Tucker Carlson the other night, saying that there's the danger of war between the U.S. and Russia is greater now than it's ever been. And he blames the Russia investigation that's going on right now, Robert Mueller's Russia investigation that apparently has all sorts of tentacles beyond Russia. It's nice to hear Tucker Carlson say that he's concerned about war, because I think that, especially on that network, they've been cheerleaders for practically every war that the U.S. has been involved in. And I'm sure we'll be cheerleading us into war with Iran, too, as time goes on. Let's take some phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Democratic leaders say that CIA Director Gina Haspel should give the full Senate the same briefing that they received yesterday on the death of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Haspel gave a classified briefing to a small bipartisan group of senators yesterday. Here's a report about that.
The Trump administration's been reluctant to blame Mohammed bin Salman.
We have no smoking gun.
Pentagon Chief Jim Mattis last week. But after listening to CIA Director Gina Haspel today,
there's not a smoking gun, there's a smoking saw.
GOP Senator Lindsey Graham says there's zero chance the Crown Prince was not involved. Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Corker says if bin Salman went before a jury,
he would be convicted in 30 months.
Senators are looking for a way to punish the Saudis, but have not yet figured out exactly how. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And let's listen to a little bit more of what Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said after he came out of that hearing, or that classified briefing, rather, with CIA Director Gina Haspel. And he was asked whether or not Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was directly involved in the murder and dismemberment of Jamal Khashoggi. Here's what Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said yesterday.
Secretary Pompeo stood where you're standing right now last week and said he had seen no direct evidence of the prince's involvement.
I think Secretary Pompeo and Mattis are following the lead of the president. There's not a smoking gun, there's a smoking saw. You have to be willfully blind not to come to the conclusion that this was orchestrated and organized by people in under the command of MBS, and that he was intricately involved in the demise of Mr. Khashoggi. Open source reports show that he had been focusing on Mr. Khashoggi for a very long time. It is zero chance, zero, that this happened in such an organized fashion without the Crown Prince. As to Pompeo and Mattis, I have great respect for them. I would imagine if they were Democratic, in a Democratic administration, I would be all over them for being in the pocket of Saudi Arabia. But since I have such respect for them, I'm going to assume that they're being good soldiers. And when they look at the analysis, they're being technical in their statement, but they're not giving the assessment that I think the Senate will have. I would really question somebody's judgment if they couldn't figure this out. It is there to be figured out. Please let me finish. And I think the reason they don't draw the conclusion that he's complicit is because the administration doesn't want to go down that road, not because there's not evidence to suggest he's complicit.
Are you still said you've been working on a statement over the next, between now and
so I'm going to do two things.
Anything
I'm gonna
more
do two
teeth
things.
Than that?
Yes, I'm going to try to get a sense of the Senate resolution where we all vote and designate MBS as one of the people responsible for the death of Mr. Khashoggi, that he was complicit in the murder, that I not only have high confidence, overwhelming belief that that's the case.
Well, that was Republican Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday after he came out of the briefing with Gina Haspel, the CIA director, when she told a small group, bipartisan group of senators, what she knew about the Khashoggi murder and who was behind it. Senator Graham taking a really tough line And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Just going back to the Mueller investigation last night, as the heavily redacted Mueller filing on the Flynn guilty plea was coming out, New York Congressman Jerry Nadler, Democrat, was on MSNBC, and he was asked several times about what the Mueller investigation means and whether or not impeachment should be on the table. Let's listen to Jerry Nadler, who is the incoming House Judiciary Chairman, which the House Judiciary is the committee that would initially vote on articles of impeachment if that ever happened. Here's Jerry Nadler from last night on MSNBC.
And of course, we now know that this president lies incessantly about everything. And one thing I think we know now is that his period of being able to lie incessantly and not being called to account is coming to an end, both because of the Mueller investigation, because of what they're revealing, because the fact that at least one House of Congress is now going to do a proper job of holding them accountable.
The redactions tonight in the special prosecutor's filing are the things that we're all fascinated by. I'm sure that the House Judiciary Committee will be equally fascinated, and that your staff will be studying these documents tonight. And how will you approach, as you take the chairmanship next year, information like this that becomes public, that is of public interest, and yet is being held back by the special prosecutor? You have a competing interest that I suppose you want to, in some sense, make a cooperating interest at the same time with the special prosecutor. How do you handle that going forward?
Well, I think our first duty is to protect the integrity of the special counsel's investigation, and we're not going to do anything knowingly that would interfere with that investigation. We would certainly, before doing certain things, consult with them to say, to make sure we're not by accident stepping on the investigation anyway, because we are dependent on that investigation to give us a lot of the facts. I mean, we know the president lies all the time, we know he's surrounded by liars, but we need to know a lot more so that the American people know what's going on, and so that we can take what steps to defend our democracy.
The president yesterday issued a tweet about Roger Stone not testifying. Roger Stone promising not to testify against the president. That was interpreted by several legal scholars and former prosecutors as being, in effect, witness tampering, public witness tampering. President Nixon's articles of impeachment, as I described here last night, included elements that President Trump has already done, that we already know he's done. When you become chairman of judiciary, you will have the sole and unique power vested exclusively in you to decide whether the Judiciary Committee should discuss, debate, and or vote on articles of impeachment. That will be a decision that is yours and yours alone. There's only one person in the Congress. The chairman of judiciary has total power over the question of what the committee is going to do on any given day, including articles of impeachment. How will you approach this, given that the president is already crossing lines publicly that Richard Nixon crossed?
Well, we're going to have to look at all the evidence. All the evidence is that the special counsel comes up with, the things that are being done in public, the things that we find out that are being done, and make decisions. There's certainly things that he has done, such as what you just mentioned, that give the appearance of witness tampering, that give the appearance of obstruction of justice. Whether they amount to that and whether you can prove those charges is a different question. But there's certainly evidence. And we'll have to look at all of that, and we'll have to look at, as I said, the findings of the special counsel, who knows a lot more than we do at this point. And down the line, we'll have to make some judgments.
Well, that's the incoming chair of the House Judiciary Committee, New York Congressman Jerry Nadler, a Democrat, speaking with Lawrence O'Donnell last night on MSNBC about the prospects for any sort of impeachment charges against President Trump. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There's so much going on. I just want to mention one other thing before we go to the phones. Hillsborough County Commissioner Stacey White filed a lawsuit yesterday to try to stop the 1 cent sales tax for transportation that was approved by Hillsborough voters in November. The lawsuit names 10 defendants, including the cities of Tampa, Temple Terrace, and Plant City, the Hillsborough Area Regional Transit Authority, and the county clerk. If a judge sides with Commissioner White, who represents Eastern and Southern Hillsborough County, the 1% sales tax hike approved by 57% of the voters and set to take effect January 1st might never happen. White's lawsuit claims that a citizens' oversight committee that's designed to make sure the money is spent according to plan takes away power from the county commission. The leader of the transportation tax proposal calls White's move grandstanding. The issue is likely to come up when the Hillsborough County Commission holds its first meeting, happening right now with the newly elected members of the Hillsborough County Commission. So a bunch of stuff that we could talk about. What would you like to talk about? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Miles writes this, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Pam and John also used to have an African World Beat program on Sunday nights? Yeah, they did. Did that for a long, long time. Moved from punk rock and new wave to world beat music too. They loved both of them. Let's take some phone calls. We're going to go. Frank Knox is our phone producer today, and we're going to go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for the informative rundown of all the crazy stuff that's happening. I want to go back to yesterday about the Pentagon's incredible waste and unaccountability and the military-industrial complex and what it's doing to the United States. And I want to make it personal for our listeners because it's easy for us, and it's what we do most of the time, is we point at the corporations that profit from war. We point at the politicians who support war. But I know plenty of people around here who work at MacDill or service MacDill or who volunteered for the American military or who work for TRW, Honeywell, Northrop Grumman, and other defense contractors. And as far as I'm concerned, their jobs are immoral. I don't accept the idea that, well, you got to have a paycheck, so you might as well be a mercenary for the empire. I don't accept it. So I would like to challenge anyone who has a relative or who themselves is working for the U.S. military, military contractor, or something directly related to our war efforts worldwide, and explain to me how you could be anywhere close to a progressive with ethics and morals and justify working for the worst war machine that the planet has ever seen.
All right, Gary, let's see. Thanks a lot for your phone call. Pretty provocative call there from Gary. If you want to answer it, you can call up 813-239-9663. Adam writes this, Professor Cohen, the talking head professor you just had on, is just trying to sell his book. The argument he's making are ridiculous, or the arguments he's making are ridiculous. Trump himself said he canceled the meeting with Putin because of Ukraine, the Ukraine thing. Anyone who isn't starting to see evidence in the Russian investigation is just being willfully ignorant, writes Adam. All right, let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. Let's go to Scott, who's on the road in Tampa, wants to talk about the Rays Stadium. Is that right, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just was at the BOCC this morning, and I just wanted to alert your callers, your local listeners, excuse me, that are concerned about massive gentrification and the use of public money. And I think we've all been reading in the paper about one of the commissioners and his dealings with developers in Ybor City. And the way you read these articles in the Tampa Bay Times, it's like a done deal. And we all know that the Rays are seeking probably around $500 million of public money. But it's not a done deal. And I'm urging your listeners that care about these issues to please, because we have a new board, new BOCC board, to please pay attention to what's going on, to call your county commissioners and push back against this stadium. We have this deadline, this non-binding agreement, December 31st. It looks like it's going to spill over into the new year. But please, if these issues matter to you, please pay attention to the public hearings and the upcoming meetings and get involved. That's what I wanted to say. Thanks.
All right, Scott. Thanks a lot. Good points. Drive safely. And I imagine there's going to be quite a debate if the group that backs the Rays Stadium comes to the public and asks for public money, some sort of, maybe they want bed tax money, or maybe they want tax increment financing or something else. I imagine there'll be quite a debate. Also, I think it's going to figure into the mayor's race, which is coming up in Tampa in just a few months. Let's go to Tina, who's in Tampa, wants to talk about the Khashoggi murder. Tina, what would you like to say?
Hi. I just wanted to say that after the hearings yesterday, they heard the testimony that we weren't privy to. It seems to me that President Trump, he heard this testimony from Gina Haspel, you know, way before the Senate did. So he heard, you know, her tell them the same thing. So yet it seems like he is so focused on Saudi Arabia for whatever benefit he and his family business can get that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't grasp the power of the presidency. And I don't mean Trump's personal power. I mean, you know, the power of that office in terms of how it can, you know, exert pressure on, you know, like countries like Saudi Arabia to not do things like, you know, kill a journalist, a resident of this country. Saudi Arabia, this isn't a one-way street. It's not like Saudi Arabia is doing everything for us. They want us as allies. I think that if they, this crown prince, I think that, and all the ones who came before him, they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to lose us as an ally. So it's not like that's a one-way street. It's this country can and has in the past exerted influence on their actions. Yet President Trump has got this, you know, he's like, he doesn't get it. And it's not just with Saudi Arabia, it's also with Putin. Does this make any sense? I mean, that he doesn't grasp just what he can do as president. He's so focused on the little things that would personally benefit him.
Yeah, I get the sense that the president is more interested in business dealings than he is in human rights. And so if there's any sort of ethical issue, that's not really something the president is concerned about. We know that Saudi Arabia has one of the worst human rights records on the planet, especially when it comes to women and when it comes to even petty crime. Putin the same way. Gays and lesbians in Russia face tremendous discrimination. There's no...
A lot more than that, yeah.
There's no fair election system in Russia. If you run as a Putin opponent, you're likely to end up in jail. There's human rights issues with both countries. I think the president wants to tone it down a little bit. I do understand what Professor Cohen's saying, and he's saying that, you know, Russia's a powerful country. We don't want to go to war with them. I think he's absolutely right about that. But just because you point out the human rights violations doesn't mean you want to go to war with somebody. You might. Put sanctions on that country or not do business with them until they improve their human rights record.
Right, you shine a light on it. You know, you keep the spotlight on it, and that I think does tend to affect their behavior a bit. I mean, they're still, you know, they are what they are, or Putin, I should say, is what he is, and that government is that way. But when you shine a light on things, I think that, like, for example, I think that this would never have happened if Bin Salman in Saudi Arabia knew that there would be this kind of a reaction, you know, but they just thought, well, we're such good friends with Trump. But my feeling is that it's not just that Trump doesn't care about human rights. We all knew that. I think it's also wherever he can get, like, a personal business opportunity. You know, he has some business or tried to build a Trump Tower. Maybe he did. He wanted something in Russia. I mean, there's just so much news and so much stuff happening. It's hard to keep track of every detail, but he had some business with them, and then also with Saudi Arabia, him and his son-in-law, wherever they are traveling, wherever they, you know, seem to go. It seems like there's like a, not just, you know, what is what is government business. It seems like what is his personal business.
Well, that's true. Tina, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. You know, I think the president during the campaign denied that he had any business with Russia, yet we know now from Michael Cohen and others that he was seeking business in Russia even during the campaign. And I think that that's why you need a Mueller investigation and why you need congressional investigations to look at his business dealings and his tax filings to find out, was he indeed going after business in Russia during the campaign? And did that color, let's say, the Republican platform? Did they make changes on behalf of Russia during the 2016 convention because of Trump's suggestion? I mean, I think this stuff has to come out. And we've got to find it out. That here's an email from, I think this is from GDC, and it looks pretty long. I won't be able to read the whole thing, but Guy writes, this is in regard to your interview with Dr. Crawford yesterday on the cost of war. While I truly enjoyed and agreed with the interview, I'd like to point out the one motive which most arguments miss. This is the real or most common reason that we go to war, that being it's extremely profitable for a few large corporations which supply the weapons of war. Military spending is in two parts. We have the military budget, which supplies funds to purchase materials to wage war, and then we spend on military appropriations, which is the money used to repair the damages we have caused by waging war. A significant portion of both budgets go to the tremendous profits of U.S. corporations. That's part of Guy's email. It is much longer, and Guy, I wish I had time to read the whole thing, but thank you very much for your email, Guy. 813-239-9663. Elijah writes this, we do not need Trump negotiating any important issues regarding anything. We need to keep him in the background and quiet. He's just like the Tasmanian devil. He messes things up everywhere, writes Elijah. All right, let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jackson. Jackson, what would you like to say?
Hello.
Hi, Jackson. You're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob. I've got two things. One, first of all, if anyone can go back and recall the interview that was done on 60 Minutes prior to Trump running for president, and the question was asked by the interviewer on 60 Minutes, was if you get into a situation, who would you consult? And, of course, like a deer in the caught in the headlight, Trump said, consult? He said, I don't consult anyone but myself. And the other thing was that when you talk about the situation with he's hanging this thing over Congress' head with Democrats taking over what he's going to divulge on secrecy, it'd be interesting to know what he is holding on Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party, because he has no thing belief about anything with integrity with the parties. So he seemed to be holding something over everybody's head up there. It's kind of like what the man who headed up the FBI did to Kennedy. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, I think the president has tremendous faith in his own ability to negotiate and suss things out. But as we find out, his understanding of things is quite incomplete. Jackson, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Nobody, no matter how good you are, nobody can go without going to the people that have studied the issues, whether it's the Middle East or any other issue, tariffs. Nobody can just kind of come up with the brilliant answer that's going to fix everything on their own without consulting with others. Let's go to Jerry in Tampa, who wants to talk about the Hillsborough transportation tax. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I'm just questioning the fact that, you know, we voted on a tax. It got passed by 57%, and now this guy is like the guy said, he's grandstanding. You know, like that reminds me of a few years ago when the very rich owners of the Bucks, it came before us whether or not we wanted to pay for a brand new stadium for these billionaires, and we voted against it, and the commissioners went ahead and passed it anyway. So we ended up paying for a stadium that none of us, well, the majority of us that vote anyway, I don't know how other people vote, but I voted against it. And I figured billionaires don't really need my money. I need their money.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how far it gets in the courts. The complaint that this county commissioner has, Stacey White, is that He says that there's a citizens commission that's going to overlook the spending, and he says that that takes away power from the Hillsborough County Commission. Now, the folks that designed the referendum say that's not really true. Everything, all the ways the money is supposed to be spent has been outlined ahead of time, and they're just going to make sure that they do what was agreed to in the referendum, and the county commission would still have a say too. So we'll see where it goes. The folks who wanted the transportation tax seem to think that it's going to be thrown out as soon as a judge takes a look at it, but we'll see where it goes.
Well, you know, it's really a shame that the people that are actually physically, the majority of the people are actually physically paying the taxes, their committee doesn't seem to, you know what I'm saying? Okay, fine, the commissioners get their say-so, but shouldn't we have our say-so also? Isn't that what the city oversight committee, whatever you said with the oversight committee?
Yeah, about? Well, the county commissioner says, Stacey White says, that these folks are unelected, and that's really true. The oversight committee is not elected. County commissioners are elected. So you could say that Stacey's right, is that the county commission is accountable to the voters, whereas the oversight committee not accountable to the voters. We're going to try to do a show on this because it's a big topic in Hillsborough County. So,
are they appointed by the mayor or something?
I've got to look at exactly how they're appointed, but I think they're appointed by members of the county commission.
What's his problem? come on, dude. Get a grip on your situation. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Jerry, thanks a lot. Great day.
Yeah, have a good day now.
All right, you too. and I'm sorry I don't have that number how this independent commission is constituted at the tip of my tongue. I should know this, and I will know before the end of the show. Tony writes this: if Pence is found to be compromised along with Donald Trump in a traitorous manner, could it be possible that we may have our first woman president through the back door of impeachment? That is a San Francisco liberal, Nancy Pelosi, writes Tony. I don't know if it's going to go that far. I haven't heard much about alleged wrongdoings by the vice president, Mike Pence, but Nancy Pelosi is third in the line of succession. So, if there is, if Pence has done something dastardly that, rises to the level of impeachment, maybe we will have Nancy Pelosi. I think that is pretty far-fetched right now based on what we know, but we don't know everything. We haven't seen what is in the Mueller bag. Let's take some more phone calls. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. And let's go to Tim in Sarasota. Hi, Tim. You're on MNF.
Hey, I'm glad you took my call. I was listening to you talking about the Saudi prince and the murder, the execution. And I'm going to be the last to defend Trump. But, he's walking on a tightrope with that. We get our oil from them. Last thing he want to do is tee them off. And then let them go with make deals with Russia instead. Putin's just waiting in the wings in the Middle East regarding that. So, as far as a moral aspect to this, of course it's immoral, but, half the country voted for Trump. So in my eyes, half the country is immoral, in my eyes. I mean, it's obvious Trump is an immoral man. In his behaviors and his actions. So if half the country is going to vote for him, half the country doesn't care. And in this country is founded on God. Look at the dollar bill. And to have this guy as a leader, let me put it to you this way. His rallies, he's got the patriotic music playing in the background. He's up there hugging the flag and stuff. The guy's a five-time draft dodger in the Vietnam War. On top of that, he's proposed a Moscow Trump Tower from 2 years ago. He was doing it during the election. They've got the facts out. And at the same time, Russia was attacking our infrastructure, our voting system, our energy grids, our financial infrastructure, banking, et cetera, et cetera. And he's doing business with them. And to be the patriotic thing, he's there right now celebrating Bush's wife, and he's there at the ceremony. And all of those good Republicans that support him are there trying to do the patriotic thing and give President Bush a send-off, you know, his funeral and everything. That's traditional, yet they don't have a problem with him and turn their back on him dealing with an adversary that is continuing to attack us in democracy. How about that?
Well, Tim, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great to hear from you. All right, you agree with Tim. While Tim was talking, I was looking up articles on how the committee that oversees the spending of the transportation tax is constituted. Let me just read from an article in the Tampa Bay Times from November 15th. Under the charter that was passed, under the charter question that was passed, 54% of this tax money goes to Hillsborough County, Tampa, Plant City, and Temple Terrace for spending on roads, sidewalks, and trails. Most of the rest goes to the Hillsborough Area Regional Transit Authority for expansion of buses and other transit. The Oversight Committee is authorized to ensure their proposed spending plans meet the criteria with a straight up or down vote. If two-thirds of that committee find that an agency is not following the charter, it can instruct the clerk of court to withhold sales taxes. Athena Joyner, former state senator, was appointed by Bob Buckhorn, the mayor of Tampa, to be on this 13-member committee. Other members of the 13-member committee are expected to be named in the next few months by, here's who gets to appoint the 13 members. Hillsborough County commissioners select a few. The mayors of Temple Terrace and Plant City each, I think, select one. The governing board of Hart and the Tampa City Council. And the committee will also include a land use or real estate expert selected by the property appraiser, a certified public accountant appointed by the county tax collector, and a Florida bar certified attorney picked by the clerk of court. So that's the answer to Jerry's question a few minutes ago. Let's take some more phone calls. This is WMNF 88.5 FM. And let's go to Kevin in Bradenton, who wants to talk about the situation in Wisconsin that was really well covered this morning on Democracy Now. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hey, Rob. I'm sorry I missed Democracy Now, slept in today. But I was wondering if, you know, there's some way that we can somehow shine a light on just how dirty the tactics are that the Republicans are using there. And also in Michigan, I understand they're planning on doing the same thing. And my question is, you know, how can that be fair, or how can that be part of the democratic process? And I don't know, man, it stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, basically we should just let people know who didn't hear Democracy Now! And haven't been paying attention to Wisconsin, Michigan, is that in the elections, Democrats were given the governorship in Wisconsin and Michigan, and they're going to control some other spots in each of those states. So they switch from largely Republican control to Democratic control. Well, in the next few weeks, before the Democrats take over in both of those states, the Republican-controlled legislature and the governor are going to try to take away power from the incoming governors. And if people want to hear the Democracy Now!, they can listen to it on our HD3 this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We'll replay Democracy Now! This afternoon at 5 o'clock. And Ruth Conniff, who's one of the great reporters out of Madison, Wisconsin, is on for about a half an hour and really explaining the situation overnight. The legislature was in session overnight in Wisconsin. They started their session last night at 10:30. And so, yeah, there is a power grab going on by Republicans. It follows the playbook in North Carolina a few years ago when a Democratic governor took over in North Carolina. The Republican legislature and the outgoing Republican governor tried to take away power from the incoming Democrats, and they succeeded in North Carolina. It looks like they're going to try to do the same thing in both Michigan and Wisconsin.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you so much for mentioning that I could hear it again at 5 o'clock, Rob. Thanks again.
All right, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Yeah, we've got this great channel. It's all news and talk, and it has some of the best news and public affairs anywhere on it. It's called WMNF HD3, and it's really easy to listen to. If you've got a computer, You can just go to WMNF.org/listen, and you'll be given a couple of choices there, and just press HD3, and you'll be able to listen to it. If you've got a newfangled car, most new cars have an HD radio in it. So if you look at your dial at 88.5 FM and you see a little light that says HD1 on it, just figure out how to tune to HD3, and you'll get some really great news and public affairs. I think it's one of the best things MNF is involved in these days. Let's go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, thanks for calling in. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I was going to comment on the Stacey White thing, Rob. The Oversight Committee is a good thing, actually. It's probably there to keep people like him from stealing money out of the fund to do whatever they need to do with that, number one. It should be just like it is. And I did want to comment, just like the gentleman before, about the Wisconsin-Michigan thing. I don't know which state it is. I think it might be Wisconsin. It's so ridiculous, Rob, that the legislators there are passing, I believe, a bill that the attorney general will not be allowed to pursue cases. They're going to hire outside private attorneys to come into their legislators and decide what cases should be pursued.
Well, I know, I think the incoming attorney general in Wisconsin is a Democrat, so that might be...
They are, in Michigan and both states. They won the governorship, and they both won the attorney generals. I mean, it's just so ludicrous. You could look right here.
Yeah.
Hammer pulling her thing with the ag thing. Oh, got a Democrat one. We got to move this.
All right. Dan, thanks a lot.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah. And for people that are interested in this, newspapers are great. Today on page 2A of the Tampa Bay Times, there's a long story about Wisconsin. So you can, if you've got a newspaper hanging around at your office right now, take a look at page 2A of the Tampa Bay Times. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. This is WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. And we have a ton of emails that I haven't gotten to. Let me try to do some justice to some of them. James writes this. He says that Lindsey was saying that if they were Democrats, he would pursue, but being Republicans, he will put party over country. My question is, Trump's people who have lost all self-respect and integrity, like Mattis, Pompeo, Sanders, etc., will be employed or shunned as should be. Writes James. James, I hope I did that justice. Not sure I quite understood that. But Lindsey Graham did make a joke about suggesting that he would be much tougher on Pompeo and the others if they were Democrats. Mike writes this. Dick Cheney called the Russian attack on our election tantamount to an act of war. And 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia, and none were from Iran or Iraq. Both true points there, Mike. Something that we've mentioned a lot. Thanks for repeating them. That's great. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to, let's see who's been holding the longest. Let's go to Joey in Plant City. Hey, Joey, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, this thing about the lawsuit against the tax.
Yeah.
I voted against the tax, but for a completely different reason. Number one, you know, the tax itself, the transportation tax is what I'm talking about,
yeah,
mostly, was funded by one person. That's Jeff Vinnick. And Jeff Vinnick's a developer. Now, as a matter of fact, I think you brought up, one of your guests brought up a while ago, that a lot of those problems brought up is by the growth in Hillsborough County. You know, if we're back now that the economy is good, we've got houses out here in the Valrico area popping up left and right. And I don't think the impact fees for developers has been raised in a long, long time. And all this growth is being caused by all this new housing and stuff. And the onus to pay for it all is being pushed upon people that are already residents here. And I think that should have been looked at primarily first before they came into putting a percent sales tax on us, to where, you know, we're now at 8.5%. We're challenging a lot of the big cities now, and you know.
Well, it's the biggest in the state. But Joe, these are great points, and I think My understanding is that the new county commission in Hillsborough County is much more open to that idea of making developers pay for development than the last county commission. And I don't know if you've called your member of the county commission or called several of them, but you might call them and say, hey, you're a fan of making developers pay for development. Because I think this new county commission is much more interested in that idea than the old one.
Well, I communicate to the commissioner over our East Hillsborough quite a bit, usually about complaints of other things that don't get done.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we've, with all the building and improvements going around on the roads by us, they have surveyors out there almost every day. And, you know, not too long ago, they repaved Dover Road near where I live. Yet the surveyors come in here and cut holes in the road to put their measuring sticks and stuff. Nobody ever comes in and fill those back in. You know what?
Yeah.
If you're a motorcycle rider, some of these holes can be pretty dangerous. If you're a car, you don't think about it. But if you're a bike rider, one of these holes could, if you happen not to see it in the dark or something like that, could be very dangerous.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Joey, I'm glad you're on top of it. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye.
All right, great to hear from you. And let's go to Daryl in St. Pete. Hi, Daryl. You're on.
Yeah, so they talked about the defense spending, and everyone from the president on down to the people in the Pentagon all took an oath of office, I believe, to uphold and defend the Constitution. Well, Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution clearly states there's to be accounting of all appropriations. Where's been the full accounting of the DOD, the largest consumer of the American tax dollar?
Well Daryl, we just did that show yesterday. I don't know if you listened to the show, but we talked about the audit of the Pentagon that was just completed and the fact that they failed it. And we talked about military spending. We spent most of the hour yesterday talking about that.
Yeah, Rumsfeld admitted before he left $2.3 trillion unaccounted for.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Admitted over $7 trillion unaccounted for.
Yeah, we did that show yesterday, Daryl.
Yeah, I was gone.
All right, I'm sorry you were. Okay, Daryl, thanks a lot. And you can look it up on our archives, too. Just look up yesterday's show. Let's go to Doug in Clearwater. Doug, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Flynn, I'm not going to call him by his rank because he shouldn't have rank anymore. But he's convicted of a felony, and as such, he should lose his rank and he should lose his retirement, irrespective of the 33 years that he did. My question to you and everybody else is, when I was active duty, I was enlisted. When I got out, I was told specifically, if I create a felony, any benefits that I have are gone. So I'm not hearing anybody talk about his military benefits that he has, and as a three-star general, or previous three-star general with 33 years retirement, that's a pretty significant amount of money. And benefits.
Yeah, his sentencing hearing is December 18th, so I think leading up to that, we'll hear a lot about it. I think a lot probably depends on the recommendation from Robert.
No. But this isn't sentencing.
This is automatic, you're saying. You're saying it's automatic.
Yeah. When you're convicted of a felony as a retiree or as any military, your benefits are gone.
Well, I'm sure it's part of the discussion between Mueller and Flynn. I don't know where it's going to head. Let's hope that one of the newspapers that's right there in D.C. will write about this and talk about his prospects. I mean, to me, it comes down to, was he helpful to Mueller, and does he help the country, or was he hurtful to Mueller, and did he hurt the country? Go ahead.
I can understand and respect that relevant to jail time and service. However, he pleaded to a lesser crime. The true crime, at least from my perspective and opinion, is traitor. I did electronic warfare. I did electronic security command for 10 years. Had probably the same clearance that he had, and that's no joke.
All right. Well, Doug, I hear you loud and clear. We're gonna find out December 18th.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks. I mean, I'm glad you raised a point. I think it's really largely out of our hands. Let's go back to the phones. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa. There are probably 30 emails here I haven't read. Let's go to Bob in Lutz. Bob, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I just want to remind the feller that called him before talking about not irritating the Saudis because of their oil production that we're only getting about 10%, maybe 11% of our oil from them. And, you know, being an apologist for a murderer is what they call bad optics, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I think one of the problems, too, is that I think the Saudis now trade their oil for dollars. And the question is, would they go to some other currency, and would that hurt the U.S. currency? And I'm not an expert on currency, but I do know that that's an issue. Bob, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, yeah, I think you're right about 11%. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for NOLA. He's coming up next on the Midpoint program. Thanks to Frank Knox. He's been our phone producer for the past hour. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.